So, Dan, second episode after our lengthy break, and I never asked you last week, what have you been getting up to while we've been away?
Oh, I've had a couple of trips. I've been getting
to... Can you talk about it, actually? You're going race across the world, aren't you?
Well, tricky, really, because I was one of the participants and...
What did you do? What did you say?
Well, do you remember on The Apprentice when that poor lovey had a bit too much on the plane?
Yeah.
You know me, I like, if it's free, I want to get my money's worth, so...
They flew you out, and on the flight over, all the excitement. We've all done it when we've been going away on our jollies, got too excited on the plane, and lost control of yourself. But I did notice that your mother's been on that Stacey Solomon programme.
Oh.
Absolute state of a house. Sort your life out.
You sort your life out, actually. And
no, that's the programme.
Oh.
But Stacey made her chuck away half of her clothes, and then they had a massive clear out, knocked up a few new shelves and cupboards, and then it was all lovely.
Oh, well, I've not watched it yet. I don't like to watch my mum on TV. Not since mum and dad were on wife swap and my dad got the wrong end of the stick.
He thought it was for good, wasn't it? Oh, it was horrendous.
I know. Then he signed her up for four in a bed as well and was disappointed with that. They don't even own a B&B.
Naked Attraction, however, everyone knew what was going on there. Mm. And they were all willing participants.
Do you know what? Somebody from the town where I grew up was on Naked Attraction very recently.
Yes, you mentioned this to me. And how did they get on?
Second out. So no one wants to be first out, do they?
Well, no, because second up, that means someone saw their knees and didn't like them.
Not going to win a Miss Nobbly Knees at Butlins anytime soon.
And thank you for asking, Dan, but I signed up to become a sub-postmaster and I ran into some terrible trouble getting my till to balance at the end of the day. So I had to get my mum to bail me out, and I ended up having just to close it down. And that's when Track by Track came calling again, thankfully. So
you've been saved. Not the first time your mum's bailed you out either, but we'll talk about that at a later date, I think.
Anyway, it's our first further listening episode for everybody. So should we get stuck in?
Let's get stuck in. Further listening from Track by Track, and it's Pet Shop Boys. Hello.
Hello.
You're listening to Further Listening from Track by Track with me, Dan.
And me, Will. This is our sister companion series to Track by Track, where we go further with our favourite artists, uncovering remixes, B-sides, demos, live tracks, cover versions, lost gems and wondrous odysseys that have not been heard, or potentially not been heard by the wider public. And this was a real passion project for us. So I'm really glad that we're now in a deluxe form bringing it for everybody.
Yeah, this was once a Patreon only series. We've got 24 episodes of Further Listening for you to enjoy over the next couple of years. We've also got our series, The Remix, as well, sat in the vaults. But yeah, this one, we talked about doing this for years before we actually started, didn't we? Because Further Listening, of course, we talk about on every episode of Track by Track, we share some tracks you might not have heard that might not have been on the album, might have been a B-side, might have been a demo. But here, we just focus on an artist and we select 10, in most cases, of what we think are their best hidden gems.
But we're going to come back on the end of this episode with an updated couple of extra tracks to throw into this Further Listening episode. Because on this Pet Shop Boys Further Listening Part 1, because we have actually done three, unsurprisingly, Pet Shop Boys Further Listening episodes, we have got some absolute gold, some of our absolute favourites. I'm just looking now at the list, the 10 tracks that we're going to talk about on this episode, and oh, Dan, there's some treats on here.
There are.
But there were too many, so we went back, we revisited Pet Shop Boys.
And at some point, Will, I think we'll just have to, once we've shared all 24 episodes of Further Listening with the world, then I think it might be time to do part 4.
And we one of our favourite parts of the normal Track by Track episodes is the further listing, and it was always so hard to narrow it down to a choice each, particularly when we're talking about an artist that we love, that this was just like an absolute gift. And also an education, because we were still sharing stuff with each other that the other one wasn't familiar with, like, or that had passed you by.
Like our sleepover clubs, wasn't it? Just sharing things.
No comment.
Yeah. Practicing kissing on a pillow and all that kind of thing. And also, Will, worth noting, on the day we're recording this, 2 weeks before the episode goes live, it's the 9th of April. It's 40 years to the day since Pet Shop Boys released their debut single, the first version of West End Girls. So what a time to be getting together and celebrating. In fact, should we pop a cork?
Oh, yeah. Let's raise a glass to 40 years. 40 pretty relentless years, if you'll pardon the name drop there, of Pet Shop Boys. And we have got real excitement because later on this month, we will have a brand new album as well.
Yes, we've been treated to two singles already. As always, with Neil and Chris, lots of extra content. Since day dot, since 40 years ago today on day of recording, they have treated us to B-sides and so much more than just the albums and singles. So, how about we get into the episode proper and then maybe we share a couple of our favourite new further listening tracks?
Yeah, we'll see you back here at the end for a couple of additions. Enjoy.
And Will, we don't need to say who the Pet Shop Boys are, do
no,
we?
No, I'm not even going to do it, Dan. We're just going to get straight into the music.
So we've got 10 incredible tracks here. We're working through them chronologically. Shall we get stuck in?
Let's get stuck in. So our first selection today, A Man Could Get Arrested.
Late on Tuesday evening, such a commotion in the street. Someone broke a window and someone's head got beat. A wave of breaking bottles crashed across the city street. And someone got arrested. Breach of the peace.
If you want war, 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 don't talk.
So, A Man Could Get Arrested there. This song was originally released as the B-side to the 1985 re-release of West End Girls, and also appears on the further listening version of Please. And I think this is just the perfect place. As we said, we're doing it chronologically. We're going right back to the start. But this sound, just the way this song starts, the really kind of, for want of a better word, quite basic, quite simple synth, just chiming along that drum beat. I think it just really tells the story of how Pet Shop Boys started.
Yeah, it's very stark. It's very bare. It's quite raw. And I think it does really suits the subject matter of this song. I think this is one of many examples of a song that's maybe not about what you think it might be about, and they're kind of talking about something else at the same time. I think it's very well done. So you could enjoy it for what it is, but actually, if you read about the background to how this song came about, it's all to do with an arrest in Russell Square, one of their friends at a known cruising ground. But Neil talks about it as actually something about a man and a woman.
Mm. And of course, we spoke earlier this year about about how that was seen as Neil's coming out album and that he wouldn't answer questions about his sexuality before that. So potentially that's a reason why, or potentially he just, you know, didn't want to write it too personally, wanted to put different characters in the story.
And some of the musicality in here, I mean, it's got a wonderful synth running all the way through it. You've also got some wonderful kind of vocal. I'm not sure what it is, Dan. What is it?
Yeah, just vocal sampling, isn't it? And the repetition of that. It's very harsh. It's very in your face, isn't it? Very shouty.
Yeah, and I love the sort of twisting element to it. It's almost a bit, you know, the distortion, the confusion, you know, maybe a kind of akin to being arrested, where you're a bit out of it. You're not really sure what's going on. I think this sounds, if you think about it, this was from a B-side from that first album single, it sounds a lot more ahead of its, it sounds very ahead of its time. It sounds a lot more up to date than that.
Definitely. And the other thing that I get from this, in no way a criticism of the Boys, but I think there are elements of this song that really remind me of In the Night. Of course, another fantastic B-side from this time that we could quite easily have chosen. Another one that I thought could have been quite good and similar sounds again was That's My Impression, because I thought we could have maybe done impressions of each other, tried to pull each other off, perhaps.
Or we could have gone back to our old repertoire of impressions we've done on Track by Track.
Oh, and there are some good ones. No, there aren't. There are some impressions. That is a fact. But yeah, I think they've all got a certain sound, of course, the sound of that time, the sound of Pet Shop Boys at that time. But this one, it's just got a bit more to it, hasn't it? The story, the characterization, the effects. And this one was produced by Bobby O, Bobby Orlando. And apparently a lot of the lyrics, if you've got your health, you've got everything, for example, are direct lines, direct quotes from him.
Hello, direct line. Okay, so we're on to our next one now. This is the Italian mix of Paninera.
You're my lover. You're my hope. You're my dreams. My life. My passion. My love. My sex. My money. Violence. Religion. Injustice. And death.
So Paninera there, the Italian mix, as you said, Will, what a story and what a history this song has got. Initially released as a B-side to Suburbia in 1986, this song was also released as a limited edition single in Italy that year. But some people may be listening to this and thinking, well, it's not really a further listening track because, of course, it was reworked in 1995 to promote the Pet Shop Boys' first B-side collection, Alternative. So, but what I love about this, Will, and the reason it's on the list and the reason we're talking about it today is because it just shows the power of B-sides and certainly Pet Shop Boys B-sides. The fact that one of their earliest went on to become a single almost a decade later. Incredible.
And I don't know whether this is a shocking confession or not, but I actually, Paninera 95 is my favourite.
I don't think that's a shocking confession. I think I flip-flop again.
I mean, this version, the Italian remix, is like over 8 minutes and it's just wonderful because you get so much instrumental bang for your buck on it. And it starts off with those incredible drums and takes ages to get going. But I could have 16 minutes of it, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. Love this version. And I think one of the things, of course, that once you get into the track on this Italian mix and once you get to the vocal, one of the things that's great about this is it's Chris on vocals.
Yes, yes, yes.
And just, you know, a very, very simple almost lyric. It's very list-like. It's talking about passion and love and sex and money. But I just love that Neil could have delivered that and Neil could have delivered it very well. But it's just so much fun to hear Chris, the guy normally being very quiet, to hear him delivering the vocal. The main vocal, of course, Neil comes in, but of course, the main vocal, I love it.
And it's that juxtaposition between the grandiose production and Chris's very almost monotone, understated voice performance in the track that I love. It's almost like the bigger the song goes, it just stays the same.
Yeah.
Great approach.
That's our Chris, isn't it? That is our Chris.
And here's our Graham with a quick reminder of the tracks we've already heard.
Now, according to Neil, the Woes, which I've kind of delivered that in a Chris style there, were influenced by Tarzan Boy by Baltimora. Now, Will, we talked about Tarzan Boy recently being sampled in a track, and for the life of me, I can't think what it was now. Do you know?
Oh, God, Dan. Now you're putting me on the spot.
And the CD2 of the 95. I know we're not talking about the 95 version, but I have to say this. The CD2 of that was fantastic because you had Paninera 95, you had In the Night 95, And then you had Girls and Boys live from Rio. I wish I would have got that. I'm off to eBay after this, Will, to look for it.
So, Dan, what's the next selection?
So next, talking about live in Rio, this is from the recently re-released Discovery album, but from 1994. This is One in a Million, Mr. Vain live. It's a medley. So One in a Million, Mr. Vain live there. Originally, this was only available on the VHS of the Discovery show, which was filmed way back in 1994. But as I said before, released on streaming and CD and DVD early this year. And wow, well, what a set list to that show. I wish I could have been there.
I know what you mean. And I just, this is just like huge, isn't it? Just One in a Million and Mr. Vain. Culture Beat, obviously, from back in the 90s, totally works together.
Completely work. I love a good medley anyway, seeing someone live. I love it when a band kind of puts a little bit of a cover on there. And I just think it shows how on it Pet Shop Boys always are with pop music and dance music. If you look further down the set list, they mixed Left Main Devices with Rhythm of the Night as well during the same set. But they know music, don't they? Inside out.
They know exactly what they're doing, and I don't think there's ever been anything they've ever, even when they do a medley of their own songs, they know exactly what will work and what doesn't. And I have to say, One in a Million Men, Mr. Vain, it's quite a gay song, isn't it? There's no beat, there's no way around it.
Well, you take your own interpretation from it, lovey.
And what's yours?
Mine is just that I bloody love it. And what I particularly love, when it first switches into Mr. Vain, the roar from the crowd and the energy that comes from them, even all this time later, it makes the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. I think even when Pet Shop Boys talk about the show, they talk about how energetic the crowd were in Rio, of course. I hope we've said that already. But you can really tell it from this old recording. You can hear and feel the energy still. But we have been lucky enough to see them live a few times since. And even, you know, again, almost 30 years later, they still put on the most incredible show, the most incredible medleys. And the reaction from the crowd is still just as energetic.
And of course, the original One in a Million is available on Ferry. So on to the next track now. And Dan, this is not a reference to you. This is from 1997, but it definitely continues this kind of party atmosphere we're creating. Well, not us, but the music is. This is The Boy Who Couldn't Keep His Clothes On. So that was The Boy Who Couldn't Keep His Clothes On, a tale about a young man who loved taking his clothes off when he was caught up on the dance floor, much to the annoyance of his girlfriend. This was definitely, at the time, a huge gay anthem produced in collaboration with Danny Tenaglia and remixed by him as well. So it was very much a club anthem of its time as well. This was the B-side to A Red Letter Day. More about that one, maybe, coming up.
Oh, hint of a tease.
But I love the fun in this. And apparently it's all from someone that Neil and Chris knew who always used to take their clothes off. And they used to like to give him a bit of a ribbing about it.
How do you stand on full frontal nudity?
I'm more than happy for anyone to do it, but not you.
And I must have told you my story about when I did walk around a hotel in Thailand completely starkers, but I have to add that I was sleepwalking. I had no idea what was going on. I'd love to see the CCTV of that. Not sure if I was standing proud or quite lethargic after that flight.
I wouldn't like to see it. But I love this song, and I really love the chorus and just the kind of the word flow and the musicality of the boy that couldn't keep his clothes on. Just the way that flows, it's very catchy. Got a good hook to it.
It's so catchy. It's so hooky, and as you've said, it's just perfect. It sounds like a carnival, and it sounds like a party. And I think, of course, a lot of bilingual, which is where Red Letter Day came from, has that sound to it. But again, I don't want to repeat myself, but that's just the beauty of Pet Shop Boys B-sides. They had all these extra songs. It's not worth putting them on the album. No one really wants a 20-track album, but to add them to the B-side, to keep the party going, to keep the theme of the album going, is just a wonderful thing. And I have to say, two things I have to say. One, I didn't know this one all too well at all until you brought it into my life, so thank you for that. But secondly, Bilingual is 25 in a few weeks.
And we've not done it yet.
Just going to put that out there, Will. Gently lay it down. So next up, we just referenced it before. This is Red Letter Day, and this is the Motivate 12-inch Master Mix. Like Christmas morning, when you're a kid, admit you love me and you always did. Baby, I'm waiting for that red letter day. Today.
So that was the Motivate 12-inch master mix of A Red Letter Day. And you really are spoilt for choice with this release, because you've also got the Trouser Enthusiasts. They did a couple of remixes, and there's also a Pet Shop Boys extended edit. And this, we all know the story with this track. The Pet Shop Boys loved the Motivate remix of the track so much before it was released that they incorporated some of the elements into the final radio edit of the song. So this serves as a extended, really lovely extra length version. And I think it's a classic Steve Rodway Motivate remix. But just with that and the Pet Shop Boys coming together, I think it's just absolutely phenomenal. It's iconic remix. And also, as we mentioned before, this is one of my favourite Pet Shop Boys songs.
Yeah, I knew as soon as we said we were going to do this project and as soon as we put that list together, I knew that this was going to be one of your choices. I like to think that I know you very well, Will. We've almost got like a Chris and Neil relationship, probably.
No, it's more Elaine Page and Barbara Dixon.
No, it's more Peter Kay and Susan Boyle.
Susan Boyle.
And your hair does get bigger and bigger, doesn't it?
In the humidity, time of recording, it's quite a warm day, actually. So it is looking particularly engorged. No, wrong choice of words. No, right choice of words. But I love this song. And there's a brilliant bit 5.5 minutes in where the beat and the synth and the remix comes back in. That's absolutely banging. That's when you want to really go for it on the dance floor.
It is. Yeah, it's pure Motivate. It's pure Pet Shop Boys. And yeah, around this time in a gay club, you can imagine just the crowd going wild. Everyone would be taking their clothes off, I think.
Even you?
Depends if I'd managed to lose that holiday weight.
Or put any on in the first place. So, the next one. This is 1999 now, and this is Lies. Liar.
Tell me.
So lies there, one of the B-sides from You Only Tell Me You Love Me When You're Drunk. And again, Will, we've got two tracks in one episode where Chris has got the lead vocal.
Yeah, and he's more singing on this one, isn't he?
Yeah, we hear, you know, you do hear from Chris throughout the Pet Shop Boys history. Normally he speaks, but this one, like a couple of other tracks, he actually sings.
I love this one because it's got that kind of Euro pop, housey, dancey beat to it. And that you were singing along at the start then. Miss me. It feels like, I mean, it's a nice, I mean, we've done this chronologically, but there's a nice progression through a kind of into a more dancier sound as we've gone further through these selections. And this from Red Letter Day Motivate Remix, this is even sort of harder dance music.
Definitely. And I actually think when the track starts, and you do get a good couple of minutes of that female vocal with the Miss Me, and you get the B and just the whole musicality of it, I think it actually makes an incredible house music track before you even get Chris's vocal coming in, which then turns into something else. Also, what's very rare about this one, Chris wrote the lyrics as well for this.
Oh, well done him.
Well done, Chris. Apparently, Will, he was quite pissed off, and this might come as a bit of a shock, about someone lying to him.
Well, it's out there in the title, isn't it? I wonder who it was. I hope it wasn't Neil.
Oh, I hope not. I can't imagine that, but hope not. Of course, the single You Only Tell Me You Love Me When You're Drunk was from the Nightlife album from 1999, as you said before. That one was produced by Craig Armstrong. They also worked with Rolo and with David Morales. As far as I know, Will, I could be wrong. As far as I know, this was just produced by the Pet Shop Boys. But I think you can hear all those inspirations in there from who they were working with.
Rolo.
Oh, I did it again.
You're thinking about chocolate.
And who I would give my last Rolo to. Not you.
And I wouldn't want it. Before Good. You even say it, I would not want it. So, Dan, next one. And this is a bit of a different one. Bit of a different selection. And this has definitely come from you.
Oh, spoiler. Yeah, this is not even a Pet Shop Boys song. But it is the Pet Shop Boys Stars Are Blazing mix of Read My Mind by The Killers. So The Killers there on a Pet Shop Boys episode, but it is, of course, the Pet Shop Boys Stars Are Blazing mix of Read My Mind from The Killers' Sam's Town album. And the reason this is included on this episode is because, of course, Pet Shop Boys are a phenomenal, iconic band in their own right, but they are also producers for others. They are also remixers for others. They are also composers. They are also songwriters. They are so much more than just Pet Shop Boys the band. And I think with this song, it shows, you know, Brandon Flowers or The Killers and Pet Shop Boys has a long history. Brandon Flowers presented them with their Brit Award for Outstanding Contribution to Music. He joined them on stage with Lady Gaga for their medley. A couple of years ago, they joined him on stage when The Killers were headlining Glastonbury. And of course, they've each worked with Stuart Price on albums. So I just think you could listen to Killers and think, well, I don't really get where, like, you know, the link with Pet Shop Boys, and then you hear this song and you realise it just works.
Well, I disagree, actually, Dan. I think there's a massive connection between them. I think they're both mutual admirers, and Pet Shop Boys definitely inspiration, particularly that first Killers album, huge influence on that as well. And for me, it was just wonderful that they came together repeatedly.
No, I'm better than that.
No, you're not.
It's so interesting because, yeah, I don't hear... On that first album of theirs, I can just about hear the Duran Duran comparison, which is the other one that's being thrown around at the time because of the synths and the guitars. But I really didn't hear Pet Shop Boys in that. And it is... But since then, and especially on Day and Age, and again, working with Stuart Price, I feel like you can really hear it. But it's fine that we disagree, Will. It's fine.
Let's just agree to disagree.
No, I don't agree to that. But Will, yeah, what do you think to this track, to this remix?
Yeah, it starts off slow and then it builds and builds, and then it just, there's some absolutely crazy electronics in there that you don't expect. It's great, brilliant.
Those crazy bits I love, and I can well imagine Neil and Chris thinking, oh, can we put this in? It's not really very Killers, and then just chucking it in anyway because it is them. Also, you hear Neil's vocal on this, and I love that when they do a remix, quite often they will do that, because on Madonna's Sorry, which they remixed, you actually hear Neil before you hear Madonna.
Good. So, next up, we have got the new version of All Over the World.
So that is the new version of All Over the World there. So the original version of this appeared on the Yes album back in 2009. And this apparently was supposed to be the second single, but then was switched out for Did You See Me Coming?
No, I didn't.
Would you like to see me coming?
No, I wouldn't.
And then this appeared on their Christmas EP in 2009, which also included the new version of It Doesn't Often Snow at Christmas, along with a few other treats. But what I love about this, of course, the Yes version produced by Xenomania, this is produced with Marius De Vries, who we've talked about many times on the podcast. And I just love that it's even more bombastic.
It's bombastic, but it's also a bit more instrumental as well. You can definitely hear more strings in there, more beats in there. It's a bit of a juice up.
A juice up. I like that, Will. A juice up. Of course, this one, the sample in that is from Tchaikovsky, who we don't often mention on Track by Track.
Oh, hello. Hello, Tchaikovsky.
If you're listening.
If you're listening.
He's a fan. Is he on this tier? Can I get this episode? Will, are you a fan of that song in general, though? Because that's one of my favourites, certainly from the album.
Yeah, it's a strong album, isn't it? But yeah, it's one of my favourites.
And of course, we've done that album, haven't we? We've done a lot of the albums that we're referencing today. We have done proper episodes on.
So next one, and oh, I've been looking forward to this one. This is A Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. If you want to take me out on a detour, I'm not feeling too demure. So that was A Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi. Dan, this is one of my favourite Pet Shop B-sides ever.
Absolutely not surprised, Will. I think you could even say this is one of the best, I took a gasp before I said that, one of the best Pet Shop Boys songs ever. I'm in love with it.
It's wonderful. This was on a B-side on the single Winner, and also appeared on the further listing for Fundamental as well. So many things to like about this. First of all, the lyricism is just Pet Shop Boys at their finest. Just calling the song A Certain Je Ne Sais Quoi is brilliant in itself. And then you just think about some of the lyrics about, I like the cut of your jib, if you know what I mean.
That's my favourite line as well.
Yeah.
I love that. Who else is putting cut of your jib in a song? No one.
No. It's just so them, isn't it? Also, Neil is playing the guitar on this.
Really?
I first thought, because of that mix of kind of a very guitar-led sort of dance pop track, that it was like a Xenomania production from kind of some of the sessions they did with them. But no, this is Pet Shop Boys written and produced with them doing the music for it as well. So this is all them. But I just love, you know, it's got a great beat to it. The lyrics are brilliant. the tone and the attention to detail in there is wonderful. Some wonderful atmospheric synths as well. So it's very layered. Brilliant.
It is wonderful. I can't express enough how much I love this. But what I found interesting was that apparently, well, not apparently, as you said, this was the B-side of Winner, along with three of the B-sides. When Pop Justice reviewed the Winner single, they actually pointed out that the three B-sides were better than the single itself. And I think particularly pointing out this one. And I have to say, I really like Winner. I think it's a really like lovely song. It came out in 2012, obviously at the heart of the Olympics. I think it really worked well at that time. But this is, it's a double-edged sword of this is a fantastic B-side. It's so good that the true fans have this in their library. But also, I think this could have made a phenomenal single.
It could have done. And Dan?
Yeah?
You've really got a certain je ne sais quoi.
Ooh, thank you. Also, Will, I heard a rumour that this may have been written for...
Bananarama!
For Bananarama! No, they turned down one of Pet Shop Boys' songs, didn't they? But I did hear a rumour it might have been written for a certain pint-sized pop princess.
Yeah, I'd heard that too, actually.
Sam Fox.
And top heavy. Yes, it's true. Another one of those brilliant Pet Shop Boys stories where, you know, they had an opportunity, they were looking to do something, it didn't work out. But you just think about all the things that they did make work out as well. Just fantastic career.
I've only got, Will, one bone to pick with this.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry, but this was from the Winner single, which was from the Elysium album. Why is this on the fundamental further listening?
Oh, don't have a go at me. I don't know.
Why? I mean, I think the reason is because it was actually written and recorded back in 2007. Does that fall more in line with that? Probably. But I would have waited for the Elysium further listening myself. That's just me.
So, last track now, and we're coming almost up to date. Dan, what is it?
This one from the Agenda EP in 2019. This is The Forgotten Child. Borders are crossed. Where is the child? The child is lost. So, The Forgotten Child, our last pick on this episode of Pet Shop Boys Further Listening. And this was the last track on the Agenda EP, which originally came with the 2019 edition of Annually and then was available for all on streaming services a few years later. Will, I don't even need to ask, because I know from the amount of times I've heard it at yours, you're a big fan of this one as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I love this one. I love this somber start. And then just two-thirds of the way through, you get that wonderful beat kicking in right through to the outro of it. This was originally recorded when they were doing Super.
Really? And of course, that was produced by Stuart Price, but this EP was done with Tim Powell, wasn't it?
Of ex-Xenomania stable. This was nothing to do with them.
To be quite clear about that.
So apparently this refers to a refugee who's gone missing while fleeing for safety with her family. And also a point around maybe we've forgotten something about human values.
Yeah, I think there's lots of, I don't know if it's been confirmed by Neil, but lots of people thinking that there was that, you know, very memorable image of the young boy on the pages who drowned a few years ago. It really struck a chord with everyone, and there's lots of thoughts that might be what inspired Neil to write the lyric. And what I love about this is that it very much does tug at the heartstrings, and it really, the lyrics do make you think. But as you said, you have got that wonderful music of the Pet Shop Boys, and then that outro is both incredibly kind of euphoric in a way, but also...
And poignant, I would say, as well.
And just full of It's atmospheric as well. And I think when you think about some of the work they've done most recently with My Beautiful Laundrette, their work...
Oh, I didn't know you were in the washing business.
Well, I bought out Mr. Hoppadopoulos's on Albert Square. but they do, they write the most incredible pop songs, but actually sometimes the sound they create together works so well in different areas. And Will, you did actually once forget a child, didn't you?
Yes, I left her in the baby changing facilities in BHS in Plymouth, much to my mother's dismay, because we were babysitting for our next door neighbours.
It was a good week or so, wasn't it, until they managed to get in touch with you?
Dan, this is from the Agenda EP. Now, we haven't really talked about that at length. We've referenced it before, but it was quite Marmite with fans when it came out. I loved it. But a lot of people didn't necessarily think it was some of their best. I thought it was great. Of course, my favourite track is On Social Media.
Really?
I mean, it's everything I love about the Pet Shop Boys. It's grandiose, it's camp, it's very topical, and it's got a great beat to it. But again, not everyone liked the fact that Pet Shop Boys were almost trying to capture more of a zeitgeist from now, and maybe it didn't necessarily align with them as artists of a certain age. I don't know, but I thought it was great. Good fun.
I have to say, and we've had this conversation already, and I don't mind saying it because as this episode and the various Pet Shop Boys episodes we have done will tell, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Pet Shop Boys. They're one of my favourite bands of all time. But the Agenda EP...
Really? You've never mentioned it.
Well, I don't mind them. Take them or leave them. Yeah, the Agenda EP, not one of my favourite things from them.
No.
But this song, of course... Being involved in this episode, I think this song, the poignancy, as you mentioned, the musicality, the way it switches halfway through, it's a stunning, it's a right piece of work.
And you do like switching halfway through.
And you are a right piece of work. Wow, 10 absolute bangers. I would love to know, let us know on the socials at Trapper Track UK, how many of those did you already know and love? How many of those had you never heard before? How many of those are going straight onto your favourites playlist? And maybe even more importantly, what are some of your favourite Pet Shop Boys further listening tracks?
Yeah, so AK, what might you want to hear us talking about in the further two further listening Pet Shop Boys episodes?
And we already know what they are. That's the beauty of it.
But now we're into some further listening, our deluxe tracks. And Dan, I'd love for you to share your one, please.
So from me, Will, one of the B-sides from Loneliness, released just a few months ago. This is Party in the Blitz. Trying to avoid all the crashing bars, the histories deployed to try to reconcile us to the pointlessness of life. Party in the Blitz there. I think the incredible thing about this is that Loneliness, for me, the first time I heard that song, it just, as often happens with a new Pet Shop Boys single, love at first listen, absolutely adored it, loved the kind of hark back to some classic Pet Shop Boys sounds, but loved hearing the first thing they've done with James Ford, who's produced the album. But then, as is often the case as well, Party in the Blitz, a completely different sound. I love the percussion in this. I love the bass in this. I think this almost feels a bit rough and ready. Almost feels like it's could be not too far removed from demo form. But it's a really fun song. It's a really interesting song. You can hear new things in the lyrics every time. And one of the things I really like about it is in certain moments, Neil's vocal, when he kind of like croaks the lines.
Well, Party in the Blitz, if you were having a party in the Blitz, as in during the Second World War, you know, it, you know, that kind of knockabout, kind of slightly unfinished, slightly rough around the edges vibe would be totally applicable. So you could almost see why, obviously, sometimes you think, well, it's a B-side, so, you know, it might not be the fully formed a final product that you would get from a single or from an album track. But actually, I think it suits the subject matter and what's being sung about, you know, really well. I loved Loneliness, but what I keep coming back to is the two tracks that we're talking about now, today. They're very interesting lyrically for me, with, you know, here you can interpret this as literally a party in the Blitz during wartime and all the shenanigans and things that you would get up to then. Or, you know, I know I was reading somewhere this could refer to a club called the Blitz, which was in London in the late 70s, early 80s.
I think Spandau Ballet were there back in the early days, and Visage and all that, all those kind of people. It was in Covent Garden, Will, where I work. So I do keep meaning to look out where it actually was.
Are you a street performer?
Yoda. I'm going to mime my answer to that, if that's okay.
Oh, there's no need for that. How rude. Honestly, 2 weeks back in and it started.
Sorry about that.
Never stopped.
No,
really.
Not in private. Oh, in private. Pesha boys.
In private. Now, also, interesting fact, the B-sides, and I think it's the same on the single Dancing Star. Love that song.
Mm.
Obsessed with that song at the moment, actually. I text you the lyrics quite frequently, actually.
Yeah.
And it's always lovely when you reciprocate.
Yes, a bit of textual karaoke.
It's always lovely when the other man reciprocates.
First.
And the
and
the B-sides. It's all right. I've made me lose my thoughts there.
Sorry.
These B-sides are not produced by James Ford. They are Pet Shop Boys on the produce.
Yes, and that can often be the case, can't it? And that whole demo feel to it, and without taking anything away from Pet Shop Boys production, but it does feel like a different sound to what they've done with James Ford. Something else I'd love to point out, Will, not only have we got this track, but you mentioned before Dancing Star's been released, the second single, two new B-sides on that I'm sure we'll talk about at a later date. But there's also a Super Chumbo remix of this track featuring Princess Julia.
Absolute London legend.
Legend. Princess Julia. She would have been in the Blitz Club back in the day.
Is she that old?
She's a good age, Will.
Okay.
And Will, would you let you in?
I would definitely let myself in.
And you have tried, actually, haven't you? Like that snake that's eating itself.
No, I was talking about when I got locked out the time and I had to climb through the window and my top fell down. Like those poor ladies, although they did very well out of that, didn't they? They were on the sofa on this morning as well, talking to Phil and Fern. No.
Who is it now? Oh, Kat and Stephen?
Kat Deely and Ben Shepherd. Much has changed since we've been away.
Will, what's your further listening choice?
Well, this has been no surprise that I have chosen Through You. Dan, you know I like to make a broad, sweeping comment, but
daily.
This track is my favourite thing that has come out of this new Pet Shop Boys era so far. And I adore Dancing Star, I love Loneliness, and I really enjoy the other B-sides remixes, but I think this, it is a sad banger.
Yeah.
And it's got such wonderful production and atmospherics in the music, as well as some very thoughtful, pointed lyrics. And this extended mix, you know, it's 7 minutes. I still can't get enough at the end of the 7 minutes. I just find it so immersive and so meaningful. And you know, we talk a lot about Pet Shop Boys songs, about the meanings that you take from it. For me, you know, this is obviously talking about seeing through somebody, seeing their true colours. I'm just convinced this is about like Boris Johnson or, you know, or if not him, some prominent politician or public figure of recent times. Pet Shop Boys are often known for being political, but not in the most obvious way. And I just think when I hear these lyrics, I'm like, this is Boris Johnson. This is how he is. This is how he portrays himself. And like once I had that thought, I can't unthink it now. And obviously, I don't want a track that I love to be tarnished by him.
Mm. God, no.
But I think this is their ode to his monstrousness.
Well, an interesting take on it, because I hadn't thought about this. As you say, they are often political, but I was just thinking of this as the kind of the standard relationship track and seeing through someone and realizing they're not the person you thought they were. But now you said that, some homework for me, Will. I have to listen to this on my own in my room with my headphones on.
But also, you could apply this to anybody, you know, that has wronged you, that has disappointed you. And, you know, of men in the middle of our lives, we can probably think of a few people that this song would be very applicable to on a deeply personal level.
Deeply personal.
I hope you don't mind me referring to you as a man in the middle of your life. I know you get a bit funny about that sometimes.
Yeah, I'd say probably a third, a quarter maybe.
A quarter? What, are you going to live to your
120? 100, yes, maybe. Just like to get my card from the king.
But I think it is a masterpiece in, it's a mood, it's a vibe, it's the Pet Shop Boys doing what they do best in terms of great production, great meaningful lyrics, and God, they're good, aren't they?
So good.
Aren't they good?
So well done them, actually.
Well done, yeah. Round of applause from everybody here today. I also, this is the extended mix, so I'd love to hear what a more cut down version will be. I know we've only got 10 tracks on the album, but we have got hopefully at least another single with B-sides and remixes to come as well. You know, there is a deluxe version of the album which has got some re-records on. So who knows what else we've got to come. I can tell you the Japanese release has a bonus track for the album, and it's called Clean Air Hybrid Electric Bus.
Is it actually called that?
Yes.
Oh wow. Sorry.
I wonder what that's about. Oh yeah, I just make up song titles. Just for fun.
Do you know what? We could have a game where we make up Pet Shop Boys song titles, and you wouldn't know with some of them. But I have to say on this, we're musically. Absolutely everything you said and more, I adore it. But it gives me really like their electric album Fluorescent Bolshy, that kind of really played out vibes. So if there is a non-extended version, I don't think I'd listen to it. I would listen to it, but I think I'd always now think of this as the original because of how it just plays out those whole 6 or 7 minutes or whatever. I think it's needed for this track. I've just become accustomed to the extended one, Will.
As I've said, I can't get enough. So I'm just going to listen to it again in a minute once we hang up our pinnies and headphones. But that's it for Further Listening, episode 1, Pet Shop Boys part 1.
Yes, so as mentioned, do let us know your thoughts at Track by Track UK. And if you are enjoying this series from one episode, sometimes you just know, please do head to Apple Podcasts to give us a rating and a review. We'd love to read some of them out on the next episode of Further Listening, which is coming next month.
Yeah, new Further Listening next month, but we have got a new episode for you next week. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for giving us a rating and a review. Until next time.
I've been Dan.
And I've been Will.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We hope you'll be getting off your tits, but not dick shrinking.